Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it's time for the second half of our show. Once again, my name is Michael Beck. He is Jeffrey Benedict, and we are hanging out with you tonight, of course, brought to you behind the steel curtain.com, breaking things down for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The first half of the show, kind of looking at the first 6 weeks of the year. Of course, we're in the bye week. If you're just learning that now, I hate to disappoint you, but there's no Steelers football on Sunday. But there is a big, windy road ahead for the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, clawing back to 500. They got a banged-up Browns team on the horizon. They got a couple poor NFC North teams on the horizon. There's a chance for the Steelers to get on a bit of a run here. But I know, Jeffrey, you wanted to kind of go off and talk a little bit on the away games and some interesting stats behind it. So I'm gonna give it away to you, and you can break down exactly what the Steelers are faced with on the road.
Yeah, I looked at the numbers. Obviously, we've got all three of our division opponents, which are like super close nearby. Cincinnati's the farthest, and it's not even 300 miles. That's a quick flight. We're going facing Kansas City and Minnesota, right? I looked up Ben Roethlisberger's records against those teams on the road against Kansas City. Ben Roethlisberger is 2-1 against the Minnesota Vikings on the road. He's 1-1, but one of those games was in London, and I'll get back to that. The game I think is the one we can all, you know, kind of count as a loss is the one against the Chargers that is on the road. It's 2,431 miles from Pittsburgh to LA. That's between the airports. In the state of California, Ben Roethlisberger is 1-7. That includes 0-4 against Oakland, right? Like the Raiders. He has never beaten the Oakland Raiders. 0-1 against San Francisco and 1-2 against San Diego. For games, total games for his career, where the Steelers have had to travel 2,000 or more miles away from Pittsburgh. 2,000 plus miles. This includes one of the games against the Minnesota Vikings, it was counted as in a road game. It was in London where they lost. The Steelers are 2-10 with Ben Roethlisberger in games where they have to travel 2,000 or more miles from home. So right off the bat, I'm counting one of those games on that schedule as a loss. It also helps that the team is actually pretty good this year. The LA Chargers have a good young quarterback and a really good defense. But that game, I expect that to be an ugly loss. I absolutely do. And if you want a great stat, if you want a great, great stat, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Devlin Hodges has as many wins in the state of California as Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers. And Devlin Hodges, by the way, played a total of 6 games for the Steelers. He's 1-0 beating the Chargers, and Ben is 1-7 in California.
Not great, Bob. Now, hopefully the Steelers can turn it around here. I'm curious what you think the next little slate of games the Steelers have in front of them. Of course, the Browns are banged up, like we mentioned, very banged up. And then the Bears and the Lions on the docket. What do you think is a realistic record to be looking at this team? Because I know for me looking at it, the Lions have struggled to do anything. I know Dan Campbell's got them playing hard, but they're trending in a very poor direction. The Bears have struggled all year long. And the Browns, like I mentioned, are very, very beat up. I don't think being 6-3 after the next 3 games is all that unrealistic. So I'm curious what you think the Steelers can do over the course of the next 3 games.
Do we want to go into the Cleveland game yet, or do we want to say, are you saving that?
Oh, we can get into it. We can get into it.
I would start there because that to me is just an enormous game. That is such a big, it goes, I mean, in the record books, after the game is over, it's exactly one loss or a win for either team, right? But it is huge. You look at the standings right now, you look at the situation our teams are in, the playoff picture, like, that's a big game. That is a huge game. If the Steelers can go in and beat a banged up Cleveland team, that is a huge step in the season. And also, seriously, I would love to see it. I want Ben Roethlisberger to go into Cleveland and beat them after what they did to him in the playoffs last season. I don't want that to be like, you know, the memory of him ending, you know, his career where he dominated in the state, you know, dominated Cleveland at home and away, wherever state he was in. He killed Cleveland. So I want to see that one. After that, there's a few games there. Yeah, the Chicago and Detroit games. You're like, you got to think the Steelers can do something there. Although I know, yeah, Chicago is here, right? We're playing Chicago.
Yes, it's
yeah, it's not Soldier Field.
The Steelers struggle against the Bears regardless. I think that's the worst record the Steelers have against any team in football historically. They struggle against the Bears for whatever reason. But still, the Bears are not in a great space right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not in a great space. And Detroit is a nightmare. So I think those two games should be won. 5-4 is a good place to be. 5-4 where you beat the Browns is a perfectly fine place. I'm okay. You could lose to Detroit. Like, they could get blown out by Detroit and eke out wins against Chicago and Cleveland, and I would be, like, thrilled. I'd be like, no, that's fine. That's fine. You beat Cleveland. You know, 5-4 I'm good with. 6-3 I think is a little much. I don't think this team is going to put together three good games in a row after winning two. I don't think they have a five-game streak in them. I really
coming
don't.
Off a bye, though, it might all it takes is one at a time. If the Steelers do end up 6-3, despite your reservations towards it, how much likely is it that they are a playoff team at that point?
I mean, you think 6-3, 4-4 put you in the playoffs. 10-7 is a playoff team, in my opinion. Look at the standings right now.
With seven, I'm sure 9-8 now.
9-8, yeah. There's a chance if you're 9-8 that someone else 9-8 gets in and you don't, right?
Right.
I think 10-7 is a playoff team for sure. Like, that's guaranteed. But yeah, if you're 6-3, like you said, 3-5, you have a winning record. You could end the season 3-5 and have a winning record. So they'd definitely be a playoff team if they can pull that off and go 6-3. And to be fair, if Zach Banner comes back and plays well, right, and he plays like the little sample size we've had of him playing, where he's been pretty dang good, or Stephon Tuitt comes back, because like I talked about, worst in the NFL at defending runs at Stephon Tuitt's spot. If he comes back and he's playing good, like, this team's going to be a lot better, especially like if you have both those players come back and they're playing good, this team's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. With those healthy body, well, those injured bodies currently, do you expect any of them to be back against the Browns? Be it Banner, of course, he should be, but Anthony McFarland or Stephon Tuitt, what is your kind of vibes here with that situation?
I have no clue when Stephon Tuitt is going to be back. I don't know. There's stuff where they show him, looks like he's working out and practicing. I don't know what's going on with him. I know he's got different injuries people have talked about going on that he's working through, and obviously a bad personal situation, rough spot. So I don't know. I'm not going to try and guess with him. I think Banner and McFarland should both be back against Cleveland, and that should be nice to have. I'm interested to see how Matt Canada uses Anthony McFarland this year in this offense.
So I know I've asked you about it before in the past, but when Zach Banner is a good-to-go candidate, do you anticipate him to step right into the starting lineup at that right tackle spot? And if everyone's healthy, who's playing the left tackle spot if Banner does slide in at the right tackle side?
I think they'll ease him in to start. You'd like to think that, but at the same time, how do you ease in a starting offensive lineman? Like, you want him to start and play. Yeah, I'm gonna go with when he is healthy and he is back, he is the starter at right tackle and left tackle. As much as I disagree with it, I think it'll be a core four. I think they'll give him a shot. And I think it's going to be hard for Dan Moore Jr. to get back on the field at that point.
Wow.
Which I think is the wrong move. I don't think that's the right move. We're surviving Dan Moore's pass blocking, and we need his run blocking.
Has a core four really been that bad?
Outside of when he plays someone phenomenal. Like this is the problem. Like, if we're going against Cleveland, you kind of want a core four in there because he has a good history against Myles Garrett. Like, he's has a really good history going facing Myles Garrett, facing those type of guys. You might want him more than a Banner, right? Banner coming back being a little rusty going against a Myles Garrett. That's not what you want. He's so hit or miss. There's plays where you're like, whoa, look at him, like, stymie that great pass rusher one-on-one. And other plays, you're like, can you not stink? Like, you're like, that linebacker just ran through you like you weren't there. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah. He's hit or miss, man.
So, behind him now, moving on to Ben Roethlisberger, as this year continues on, are you worried at all that he could have see a drop in his play? Is that a possibility? Could he play worse? Could he get better? What do you think is a realistic end to Ben Roethlisberger's 2021 season?
I am at this point set that he is what he is. He is exactly the player you see. And I don't think you're going to have a great ending. I'd like to have a respectable one. I don't want him to go out where his last couple of games you're like, wow, that was a joke. Which is why I figured he was going to come back this year, because he didn't want to go out where Cleveland was his last game. Right? He didn't want to go out where he lost so many of his last games and then just had that awful game against Cleveland. I want to see him go out well. I want to see him account for himself well. And I think this team is building up to the point where he can do that.
So then moving beside him to Najee Harris, he, of course, is his rushing totals are starting to pick up some steam. The Steelers are starting to run the ball better and better and better. Do you expect him to be a 1,000-yard rusher by the time the final whistle is blown? Ooh, I think he's on pace for about 900-something.
So he'd have to pick up... Trying to think of the teams we have left in their run defense. Yeah, I think we could pick that up. I'm going to go with yes. Yes, he's a 1,000-yard rusher. Even though I picked him to not be, I picked him to have like 900 yards. And so now I'm going to say he'll make it and then he won't. So I'm going to say, yeah, he's a 1,000-yard rusher.
To make you right before the season.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
One of the ways I'm right. But I think he has a good shot to pull it off. This offensive line is coming together decently.
Right. Now, it is getting better, the run game, to a degree. Do you think if Okorafor four takes over that left tackle job, he will cling on to it for the rest of the year if he's healthy?
Like, you're killing me here. Yeah, because the Steelers do that. Like, I would love to see them not be
that. It's a Steelers thing to do.
It is. He's the veteran. Dan Moore Jr. is a rookie. I mean, Kevin Dotson was our best offensive lineman last season, and they sat him. You know, rather, I don't know. In my opinion, I look at it, and there's times where I look at it, and I'm like, you'd rather lose a playoff game than, like, start a rookie and just deal with the consequences for that. You'd rather, like...
That's not an insane take, because that's pretty much what we saw.
Yeah.
Hey, now, kind of continuing on with this as well, like kicking out to the receiver spot, do you anticipate that Claypool Roethlisberger connection to start clicking in any way, or is this just going to be a doomed bad Wi-Fi, as Antonio Brown would put it?
Well, it's not awful right now. Chase Claypool leads the team in yards per target. I guess the issue here is, Chase Claypool does well when the offense is working. When the offense is working, Chase Claypool gets his numbers, right? When the offense isn't working, you end up with like 14 targets to Deontay Johnson for like 70 yards. And you're like, that's awful. Like, he led the team in receptions and yards, but it was an awful stat line. When the offense isn't going well, Ben just throws to Deontay and Chase disappears. When the offense is rolling is when you see Chase Claypool start getting targets. He is the guy Ben goes to when there's matchups to exploit. When there's the defense is crashing the line, he starts going to Chase Claypool. So I would love to see that connection get going, because if the run game is rolling and the team and the offense is working, Chase Claypool is going to get yards. He's going to be producing. When that doesn't, he's going to fall. He's going to disappear. Just like literally everyone disappears from the offense except Deontay Johnson.
So with it, how many 1,000-yard receivers will the Pittsburgh Steelers feature here this season?
This season, I'm going to go with zero.
Again, for another year in a row, 0,000. Yeah. I believe that would be 3 consecutive years without a 1,000-yard receiver.
I'm expecting the biggest pickup in targets to be Pat Freiermuth, and I don't see him getting 850 yards the rest of the season. Wow. I could see him getting to 600, maybe even 700 if this team goes really good, which is going to cut into yards for other people.
That would be a tough look in today's passing league. But you mentioned Pat Freiermuth as well. What do you kind of see for him in his rookie year? Obviously, he got that pickup in stats. I'm also not a believer that he's going to get too many more targets, because it's a Ben-led team and Ben has never thrown his tight ends, even if his name was Heath Miller. What do you anticipate for the end of his rookie season? Will that 7-catch game continue on to be a trend throughout the season? Will he kind of be that guy that how Ben like grows a connection with somebody, starts targeting him more, and maybe as a receiver slot type, he might pick it up? What do you foresee from Pat Freiermuth as this year rolls on?
Oh, what I want to see, his final line would be somewhere around 600 yards, 5 touchdowns, 5-6 touchdowns. I think we're going to see like 450 yards and a couple of touchdowns, maybe 3. Like, I'd love to see it. I just don't. I've learned not to expect it. We look at things and we're like, this is finally going to be great. And nah, not anymore. He's going to throw to Deontay Johnson a lot. The crazy thing is, do you know who is tied with Deontay Johnson for the lead in receptions on this team?
Is it Najee Harris?
It is Najee Harris. They both have 34 receptions on the year. To let you know, Najee Harris isn't going to be here long because they can't pay him like a number one receiver and a number one running back.
that is funny stuff, Jeffrey Benedict. He's a running back. So he's good. Already 23 years old. 5 years on his rookie deal puts him at 28, a franchise year 29. Yeah, I wouldn't give him a contract regardless. Anyway, that's a topic for like 5 years from now. We'll worry about that then. He's a running back.
Let's start paying Najee hashtag.
Don't kill me. You're not allowed to pay him yet because he's still, within 3 years on his rookie deal. Give me a break. But flipping over to the defensive side of the football and some more kind of predictions for this team, how they roll out. Obviously, I think we need to start with T.J. Watt, who's by far the Steelers' leader when it comes to sacks. He's at 7, despite only playing, 5.5 games. Devin Bush is 2nd with 2. It's just not close. Now, is T.J. Watt, I know he's a sack behind Myles Garrett for the league lead, and again, Myles Garrett pretty much had all his sacks in one game where he had 5 or 4.5 or whatever it was. Do you think T.J. Watt leads the league in sacks again?
If he stays healthy, 7 sacks and 12 quarterback. He also has 7 tackles for a loss. Like, his season right now is absurdly good. Absurdly good. He's forced 3 fumbles. Like,
this is his best start to it, to a season in his career. And he's only missed 2 games in his career, plus that half against the Raiders. So this is incredible.
He is lighting it up. You got to question if it can even continue. Like, is this sustainable? A team's eventually just going to be put 3 people on TJ Watt.
Hey,
just ask our quarterback to, like, if I'm the Ravens, I'm like, if you see Isaiah Loudermilk or Chris Wormley, don't block them. Just be like Lamar, outrun those guys, right? Just outrun those guys. We're going to block Cameron Hayward. We're going to put three guys in the path of T.J. Watt and hope for the best. Because
the only
person running him down is T.J. Watt.
It's nice to say that, though, but that game-ending play against the Seattle Seahawks started with a triple team on T.J. Watt. The right tackle, the tight end, and the running back were all blocking T.J. Watt to start that play. He cuts back upfield, strip fumble, Steelers ball, Steelers win the game. It was incredible. One of the greatest plays, and that part I don't think is talked enough. One of the greatest plays really in modern Steelers history. I know it's just a Sunday nighter in the middle of the year, whatever. Yeah. For a play to make, though, being a triple teamed as an edge rusher, sack fumble game, oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable play.
Yeah. Oh, and how he came up, he swung for that ball crazy, too. Oh, yeah, that was great. I've watched that play like 40 some times. That's one of those plays I watched and I'm like yelling at my computer because I'm getting super pumped. I'm like, it's a great play. Man.
Is this a T.J. Watt depoy year?
This has got to be it. I mean, their PFF is setting him up for it. They've got Cameron Hayward rated higher than Aaron Donald, right? They're already set. They're like setting the league right now, being like, "Hey, this isn't Aaron Donald's year, guys. Hey guys, this isn't Aaron Donald's year. Please listen to us, for goodness' sake. It's not Aaron Donald again." But yeah, oh my God, if he keeps this pace. I mean, it's 20. It's a 20 sack season. That would be absurd. I don't think that is sustainable. I don't think that is.
He's been putting up multiple sacks. What, he's had two sacks in, I think, three games this year? Yeah. I think. Crazy numbers. Like, unbelievable. And he's not just doing it from that, too. And I see the comments throwing Trayvon Diggs out there. I know he has all those interceptions. The thing is, Diggs has been burnt for way more touchdowns already than interceptions that Cowboys corner. I know he has what, seven interceptions and a pick six, but still he like on any given play is getting torched downfield. So like interceptions alone, I don't think is enough for Diggs to win that. So I generally think TJ should be the clubhouse favorite right now, especially how better the Steelers are when he is on the field. Now there are some other guys who need. Go ahead, sorry.
If he can average one sack a game for the rest of the season, that would put him at 18 sacks, and it's a lock. That's my opinion. If he can average one, like, you have 18 sacks, that's it. It's over. No one's beaten that.
Especially with everything else he's been able to do this year in the pass game, in the run game, he has been a stud, period. Point blank, period. You'd love to see him get, like, some pick six just to put that exclamation point on it to shut everyone up. I was like, okay, we got to put the little brother Watt down, but maybe we got to ask for that to come up. Yeah, but still, just be humble, maybe. But hopefully that ends up happening. But with other players along this defense, I'm curious. Teams are not throwing at Minkah Fitzpatrick. Will he have a single interception before the end of the season?
I would go with yes. Because he is so good when balls get batted in the air. He's so dangerous at that. At some point, a ball is going to fly into the air and come somewhere near Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's going to come down with it. That's my opinion. Even if he can't get one, like like one of the ones where he jumps around. They've gotten wise to him. They know when he's in cover two, they just don't go to his side. When it's cover one, they attack him with specific route combos, or they just avoid him. They have enough film on him, but he's still really good. People get down on Minka, but he is really good. And again,
he's leading the team in tackles. He is a heat-seeking missile as a tackler this year. He's like frustrated. Well, the ball's not going to him, so he's just chopping everyone legs out. He's been good.
Yeah, we've had a free safety lead this team in tackles before with Sean Davis. It was not a good defensive season. Anytime your free safety, who almost always is your deep safety, is leading your team in tackles, it's a bad, bad thing. And we had, this is the problem. When things break on our defense and teams get through, it used to be Devin Bush was the guy there, right? Devin Bush is not that guy right now. He doesn't have that speed. He's not getting out like that. And it's Minkah right now. And that is not what you want. You don't want Minkah Fitzpatrick being your leading tackler. Because he's a free safety. He's going to miss a bunch, too. Like, he's going to miss more. He's just not as big. But Minka is playing great. It's sad that he is in the role that he has to be in right now because the defense isn't that good in front of him. There's too much being given up in front of him. But yeah, he's phenomenal still.
So across the rest of the defense, is there anyone else you want to point out and say, okay, this guy's set up to have a huge end of season?
No, I really don't. I really don't. I mean, there's some good stories out there. There's Trey Norwood's a great story.
Oh, amazing.
And just like being exactly what they drafted him to do, right? I keep going back to watching his film right after the Steelers drafted him. And that was my film room to do. And I'm watching him and I'm just sitting there looking at being like, that's Cameron Sutton's nickel. That's Cameron Sutton's dime roll. Everything he does, every zone he's playing, all the switches he's making the man cover pickups he's doing. Like, it's all stuff Cam Sutton does in dime for all these years. And they're just like, yeah, we're moving Cameron Sutton outside. Let's go draft this kid who does exactly that. Like, that was his whole career, and he was phenomenal at it in college. And, yeah, guess what? Same role in the NFL, he's really good. I don't think he's going to be some kind of a superstar player, but he is good at what he does, and what he does just happens to fit our defense perfectly in that role. Like, he doesn't even play in nickel. He only plays in dime, but he's absolutely a superstar in dime.
Oh, yeah, he has been outstanding at it. And PFF's top-rated defensive back for week 6 is Trey Norwood. I mean, it's PFF stats, so take it with a grain of salt. But still, the recognition is there. What a game he had. But as we get to the end of the show, typically, we like to do a game score prediction. Jeffrey, I'm going to surprise this one on you because we didn't talk about it beforehand. But this week, what will be the Steelers' final regular season record by the end of the season? Currently, we're at 3-3 with 11 games to go. What will the Pittsburgh Steelers' record be when the final whistle blows? I guess that Week 17 game is against Cleveland at home in Pittsburgh.
Week 18.
Week 18. Ugh,
yeah, it's gross. It's the 17th game. Yeah, I know. It's horrible. 10-7.
Why are you going to take my answer? That, like,
9-9.
An 8.
7-1.
9-7-1. Ew, no ties.
10-6-1. I'll go 10-6-1. I can live with that.
Look at you. Look at you. No, I honestly kind of believe the Steelers will go on a bit of a mini run here, get to 6-3, and really kind of be like, oh, wow, they won 5 games in a row, and then kind of just be that 500 team the rest of the year, get it in the playoffs. I guess who knows what happens from there, but I think this team still has enough juice to get there, and hopefully can send off Ben Roethlisberger into the sunset with a little bit better ending than last year.
Here's the one for me. Here's me springing one on you. What is the Steelers' record in the division? They've got 5 division games left.
They pretty much have to win all. If they want to win the AFC North, they have to win them all, period, at this point. If they want to win the AFC
North.
To
get in front of Baltimore. The Lamar Jackson train is not stopping.
Lamar Jackson and like nothing else, but that's another show for another day. Their final AFC, so they're already 0-1 against Cincinnati. I think they beat the Browns because they're so beat up, and like revenge game, you have to win that game. I think they win that game. They always handle the Ravens with Lamar Jackson for whatever reason. They always play super well against them. You know what? I'm going to go 4-2 with the only other loss also being against the Cincinnati Bengals. They beat the Browns and the Ravens twice and go 0-2 against the Cincinnati Bengals.
They beat the Browns twice and the Ravens twice.
You also got to keep in mind the last 2 weeks, they got there could be some rest going on. So, but a hot take, sure. They beat the better teams and lose to the quote-unquote worser team. But
I'm thinking we go into Baltimore and they're resting people and we beat them in Baltimore.
And then Cleveland come to Pittsburgh. Who knows what either team will be looking like, perhaps both fighting for playoff positioning. But at home, I like the Steelers in that one too.
But Look at the schedule, though. This is what I love about this schedule. This is Ben Roethlisberger's last season. His last two regular season games. At home against Cleveland, on the road at Baltimore. What, like those two, if he could win those two games and just go out and be like, yeah, I'm done, but still better than you. Like, that would be it. That would be like, and then don't face any of them in the playoffs. We'll face someone else, right? Don't face them again. Unless we can beat Cleveland in the playoffs. That would be fabulous. If they somehow make the playoffs, and we beat them in the playoffs.
That would be awesome. That would be wonderful.
Freaking do the like, three, beat Cleveland three times, and then whoever's next on us just obliterates us. But we beat Cleveland three times in one season.
Oh, it'd be great. Oh, man. Anyway, we are up against our hour here. Is there anything you want to plug before we say bye to the people, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I've had really a lot of fun listening to the Bi-Week Bonanza podcast we're all doing. I don't know when yours comes out. I finished mine,
Saturday.
But it's not coming out till, I think, Thursday. You're coming out Saturday. Okay. But yeah, there's a lot in there. I'm listening to all of them. I like them. So check out the Behind the Steel Curtain podcasts. Listen to all of us rant about, you know, the season and pick the same player for the offense. Like, one of the categories is offensive MVP. Like, come on. Who's the offensive MVP for the Steelers right now?
Derek Watt.
Like, anyone want to not say Najee Harris?
Derek Watt.
You can be wrong. Like, that's an option. You can just make the wrong choice and say anyone other than Najee Harris.
Yeah, honestly.
I laughed at that one. Every podcast, every people are like, oh, I know someone's going to say Ben Roethlisberger, but I think it's Najee Harris. I'm like, no, everyone's going to say Najee Harris. You better say Najee Harris, Michael Becker. I'm kicking you off this show.
You're kicking me off my own show? What is this?
Yes, I will kick you off. Yes, yes. You're the There's the button somewhere on here. I can figure out how to use this.
I guess we have equal rights to the tools in this on this platform. So I suppose that is something you could do.
Gave me that much.
Oh, goodness gracious. But I guess the last thing to also remind the people of is just to click over to behindthesteelcurtain.com. It should be your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. I know we say it all the time, but for breaking news, for commentary, for top 10 lists, whatever you want, it's on behindthesteelcurtain.com, and I assure you it's better than any other site you're going to be trying to click over to anyway. So you might as well spend your hard-earned your hours really at behindthesteelcurtain.com. That's should be, once again, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. Once again, for my co-host Jeffrey Benedict, my name is Michael Beck. We will catch you guys next week.
Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.